Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will talk to you tomorrow as the Blue Jays look for a second consecutive win. They are 20-23 right now. Not good. They picked up the win in Minnesota tonight, not wasting a phenomenal effort by a starting pitcher. Marco Estrada gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run in 8 innings. It didn't look good as the Blue Jays with the 2 hits in the first didn't get another hit until the 5th. And then in the 6th, Edwin Encarnacion with his hardest hit ball this season, a home run that went 412 feet. I know it was 112 miles an hour off the bat by Edwin Encarnacion. That tied the game 2-2, and the Blue Jays won it in the 11th on an RBI single by Troy Tulowitzki, who in the 9th was robbed of a home run by Target Field and of extra bases by Danny Santana. He hit a fly ball 410 feet just left of dead center. The wall is 411 feet away, and Santana made a great leaping grab on the warning track to end the inning and take at least an RBI double away from Troy Tulowitzki. Roberto Osuna, 2 perfect innings of relief, and Joe Biagini gets the ball in the 11th. Gavin Floyd, having thrown 2 innings yesterday, unavailable. Biagini with his first major league save. The Blue Jays beat the Twins 3-2 in a win that they needed. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance. 1-888-666-0590. They won, so lines are open, and we'll take your calls until midnight Eastern time. Let's start with Patrick in Barrie. Patrick.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just have one quick comment and 2 quick questions. My comment was I actually wanted to say you do a great job at handling the callers that call in. I can imagine it can be frustrating sometimes, but you do a really good job, and I appreciate your commentary, so thank you.
Swell of you. Thank you.
My first question is, with the lineup shakeup tonight, do you think this is going to be, obviously they won tonight, so it would seem that they would probably keep it. Do you see it as being like a long-term solution or maybe just something to see what sparks the bat?
I don't know. You know what? It's interesting. I like the fact that the players came to DeMarlo and John Gibbons with this. So that makes me think that there is a potential that it could be for a longer term. You know, the idea had always been that when Devin Travis comes back and he's 8-for-18 in his rehab stint, played his first game in AAA tonight, went 3-for-4. The idea was always that when Devin Travis comes back, that the Blue Jays will put him in the leadoff spot. And while Jose Bautista is going to hit leadoff, then maybe not. Maybe Devin Travis comes back and hits 6th or 7th. And gives the Blue Jays a little bit of thump at the bottom of the lineup, assuming that he can come back and be close to what he was last year. So, I don't know. I would love to see this long-term. We've talked about it so many times since the end of last July when I was advocating for Troy Tulowitzki in the leadoff spot, because I think that your best hitter or one of your best hitters should be first. And look, tonight, Jose Bautista was the guy who was up with 2 out and a runner on 3rd. In the 10th inning. So that's a situation that you want Jose Bautista up in there. And the reason he was up was because he was in the leadoff spot. So I'm digging it. And I do hope it continues, but we'll have to see. You had another question.
Another quick question was, I know I have been asked this before, and I just want clarification. Now, I'm not going to pretend like it's easy to hit off major league pitching.
It really isn't.
But I assume it's very hard.
Yeah.
Why is it that you think that when the hitters are struggling, they don't try to maybe go opposite field more? I know that their strength is in their power and their big power hitters, just even to get the confidence going, or is it just something that they're maybe not great at? I remember when I played, I wasn't a great off-field hitter. I was always a full hitter, so I struggled to put it over there. Is it more they're not great at it, like, or is it that I get confused. I always hear myself yell on the TV to go opposite, and they never seem to, but I'm just wondering if it's more of an inability or of a not likely or not wanting to.
Here's the thing. And anytime someone brings up their own experience playing baseball, I must dismiss it immediately, because anything that any of us have done has nothing to do with what these guys are doing.
Of course.
But the thing is, when you're struggling, what should you do when you're struggling? Something that you're not good at or something that you've always been good at? And that's what it comes down to. if you're a pull hitter and your strength is to the pull side and your success is when you're pulling the ball, it seems counterintuitive that when you're struggling, you would try to do something that you're not very good at.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I know how frustrating it is, and I appreciate the call. I know how frustrating it is for people who watch and say, oh, they're trying to pull everything, trying to hit everything 500 feet. Well, they're not, but you can't go the other way unless, you know, the best thing to do is just to hit the ball where it's pitched. But that's not why Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista hit 80 home runs last year, by hitting the ball where it's pitched. It was by picking out mistakes or balls in the inner half and smacking the crap out of them. And again, they're not home run or bust guys as much as people want to think that they are. So it does seem to me anyway counterintuitive to go away from your strength when you're struggling. But I appreciate the call, and we will get to some more calls in a minute. We got to take a quick break. Blue Jays win 3-2 in 11. They beat the Minnesota Twins, who are now 10-30, and snap a 5-game losing streak. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Edwin single back in the first, struck out in the fourth, and this ball is absolutely drilled to left field into the upper deck, and it's gone. We're all tied at 2.
Blue Jays were waiting for that one. Down 2-0. Edwin comes through. Hardest hit ball of the year for Encarnacion. His 9th home run. It was off the bat at 112.4 miles per hour. Just sensational and hammered. Edwin wound up with 3 hits tonight. And his pinch runner, Ezekiel Carrera, scored the winning run in the 11th inning on the RBI single by Troy Tulowitzki. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays shake up the lineup. It does not shake the team out of its offensive funk as they score just 3 runs on 9 hits, 3 of those hits coming in the 11th inning. But a win is a win is a win, and the 5-game losing streak is over. Bill is in Mississauga. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Good evening. Yeah, I really like this lineup, and to shake it up, it's just like, you know, just playing ball in, you know, little league or even recreational, where if you're 3-for-4 or 4-for-4 and, you know, you just move the batters up. I mean, for Bautista, I just seem that he feels that, you know, as a leadoff hitter, he's more at ease. He's not stressed. You know, you put him at the number 3 spot, you know, he's pressured to hit the home run. And I really like it. And I would just keep it the same until they lose, and then you talk about it. But I think, you know, when Travis comes back and, you know, he did well tonight, you put him in the number, you know, 8-9, and then he gets on most of the time, and for Bautista to drive him in most of the time. So, you know, I really like this lineup. And like I said, with Bautista, it just he seems more at ease. He's not as stressed. Like when you put him in the number 3, he's got a chip on his shoulder and everything. I really like this lineup.
He's been baseball's, arguably one of baseball's best hitters for the last 5 years in the number 3 spot. So I'm not buying any of that pressure stuff. He's a really, really good hitter. And he's, you know, he played to his, well, pretty close to what he does normally. He had a .400 on base percentage tonight, reached twice in 5 chances, and I had he had something like a .365, .370 going in. So
okay,
yeah.
So do you like him better in the number 1 spot, or do you like as a leadoff hitter? Do you
I like him coming to the plate as often as he possibly can,
which would be in the number 1 spot.
Correct.
So he got an extra at bat.
Yep. Well, he didn't, as it turned out, but. But he was up there in that big spot in the 10th inning with a runner at 3rd and 2 out. So I'd rather have him up there than almost anybody else on the team.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on just the shakeup, and especially where the guy is bringing it up to the, you know, to the coach. And when Gibbons comes back, you know, hopefully, you know, he's on the same page as the other guys, too.
Don't kid yourself. John Gibbons wrote out the lineup tonight.
Ah, all right.
All right.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. And John Gibbons' suspension is now over. The Blue Jays were 1-2 without him, 19-21 with him. But he does all the pregame stuff, and of course, the starting lineup would go through him. When the shakeup doesn't happen without his approval, for sure. 3-2, Blue Jays over the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, you know what? DeMarlo Hale gets his last day as a manager, unless Gibby gets suspended again, which one hopes is not going to happen. But you know what? If John Gibbons gets ejected and the Blue Jays get in a brawl, he will once again be out there on the field. Let's hear from DeMarlo Hale. Here's what he had to say in the wake of tonight's 3-2 extra inning win.
Tulo got robbed in his last at bat and then comes through when it really counts.
Yeah, it's been in the moment, you know, in the situation. And I thought we grinded very well. You know, was thinking about things, situational baseball, trying to get it done. Martin, great at bat, you know, with a man on second base, moved the guy. I think maybe he might have had 9 or 10 pitches there, you know. So, you know, just the things like that, some of the little things. You know, played some defense. You know, JD, good play down the line. And Tulo, you know, big at bat there. Paredes, you know, the big double. So, you know, it was a well-played game. And I think it all started with Marco. I mean, he pitched outstanding, you know. And Osuna came in behind him and then – be a genie, you know, close it out. And he held his composure. That was good to see.
You mentioned composure, and you know, Santana stole a base earlier before a pitcher even went into motion.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about what Biagini was able to do there to not rush things?
Well, I think, you know, he done it against Marco, but, you know, I think Russell, you know, had a pretty good pace, you know, just slowing him down. You know, we went over there on a pickoff move. It wasn't his best, but, you know, just to indicate that, hey, you know, we know you're there and we know you're a base stealer. And, you know, he just held the ball and kept his composure. It was a big out, you know, no doubt, because there on top of the lineup is there. And, you know, you trying to keep a base runner out of scoring position.
It's early, but with the new lineup, did you see some of the situations that you were hoping to see?
Well, I mean, Batista came up, you know, I think it was Paredes was on third with two outs, and Nunez, the shortstop, made a great play. You know, it's going to be situations that's come up, whether it's the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and it doesn't matter. I think, you know, what was seen tonight was that they were grinding, and for the situations, they were trying to, you know, have positive results. And, you know, it's good to see. I mean, it's a good win. You know, we break a five-game losing streak, and, you know, we feel pretty good about ourselves. And, you know, you turn the page and come back tomorrow.
I think about the ball that Tulo hit to, like, the deepest part of the ballpark. And then the last few, you know, ninth, tenth inning, like, you had runners on and just couldn't get that hit. Did it feel like something had to break at some point?
No, you know what? It was a good feeling. There was, you know, cheering, you know, people pushing each other, you know, positive thoughts, positive comments, you know, just, you know, let's do what it take, you know. I mean, they can catch the ball too, you know. So, you know, we've done enough, and but it was a positive atmosphere in the dugout there.
How important was to see him get a hit off a left-hander too? I mean, he struggled with that this year.
Well, I mean, he's a career 300 hitter off lefty. So, you know, if you look at that, you know, we talked about the track record earlier. You know, it's going to come. You know, I believe in the track record. I believe in some of, you know, what these players have done in their careers, you know. So I'm not surprised.
DeMarlo Hale, in his final day as Blue Jays acting manager, track records are important, as I've been telling you for 3 months since Troy Tulowitzki got here. It does have a meaning, and whether it's happening now or it's not, and for a lot of guys, it's still not. It does mean something. And with 119 games left in the season, there's a lot of time for guys to start hitting the way they're supposed to be hitting. Blue Jays beat the Twins 3-2 in 11. And I will admit, I blocked somebody on Twitter tonight because it was only the Twins. He wasn't happy that they only beat the Twins by one run. This is someone who has tweeted just frustration and negativity and terrible stuff for a couple of weeks, but I've let it go. Not tonight. Sorry. A win is a win is a win. Back to the phones. Let's go all the way out to Regina, Saskatchewan. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, is Target Field the closest Major League ballpark to you?
It sure is. Been there.
It's a pretty place, huh?
It's great. Yeah. It's great. I mean, an open-air stadium, you know, it can be cold there. And, well, it could be cold this time of year. Hey, yep. It can be cold in June, but that's okay. A lot of prairie people like to go down there. If you're in Winnipeg, I think it's really close. I think you can get there in about 7 hours or so.
Which is awesome that you think that's really close.
I know, right? Yeah, this is a Canadian thing.
Exactly.
But it was great to get the W tonight. I don't care if it was the Twins or if it was Baltimore or whoever. We need the W, and that's all there is to it. So it was great. Took 11 innings or 12 or however many it was, but we'll take it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I guess my question tonight is, it's not so much directed to the Blue Jays, so I don't want you to misinterpret my question, but I'm just wondering, you know, in general, when a team like such as the Blue Jays, a team that's not in, in the phase of rebuilding,
yep.
At what point do they start pointing fingers, so to speak? Like, at what point do they start pointing fingers at management or pitching coaches or hitting coaches?
Okay, you mean the players themselves?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, like when a team, and I'm not saying the Blue Jays, but just like, you know, I mean, like you said just prior, there's 119 games, and I'm not worried. I think that this offense eventually will come together, and I think this team will come together. And
yeah, well, you know, I think what you have to remember is, and I think what a lot of people have trouble separating, is that players think completely differently than fans do. Like, it's 180 degrees different the way players think relative to the way fans think. Players understand the length of the season. They understand who their teammates are. They understand just how much work their teammates are putting in to get better. And when a team that's expected to really succeed doesn't, they will generally have each other's backs. Now, they'll start to point fingers when they feel like they're not being supported by management, when they feel like management is making decisions that are preventing them from winning games, then they'll get upset. And very, you know, rarely will you hear it publicly, but yeah. You know, when those sorts of things happen, or when coaches aren't showing up or aren't getting there, aren't helping them get their work in. But there's never any panic, and there's never any, oh my God, it's the middle of May and we're 7 games back. It's over. When if they were 8 games back with 9 games to play, they would still believe that they were in it, right? They think completely differently, as they should.
Yeah, absolutely, they feel the length of the season more than the fan. But so at what point is a finger pointed? Is there a point
when it's deserved? It's not a date on the calendar.
No,
you know It's when it's deserved, then.
So if a team such as the Blue Jays, like on paper, should be, you know, one of the better teams in the AL East, if they continue to perform as they are, let's just say.
Yep.
Does somebody point a finger?
At who?
I don't know. I'm just, it's sort of a general question.
Well, yeah, but you have to help me out here. Like, you want to blame the hitting coach, maybe.
No, I don't want to blame anyone.
Let's say someone wants to blame the hitting coach. Well, he was a hitting coach when they scored 891 runs last year.
Yeah.
Right? John Gibbons has nothing to do with Troy Tulowitzki hitting 200 or with Russ Martin hitting whatever he's hitting or Ryan Goins having a 450 OPS or everybody basically except for Saunders and Smoke underperforming. That's their fault, not Gibbons' fault, and they understand that. So there are no fingers to be pointed.
I guess maybe it's not just so much pointing fingers as to how do you handle it?
You have faith in the fact that generally water finds its level. And generally, people perform the way they've always performed. And you, as a player, understand just how hard this game is.
And me, as a fan?
Don't.
I do have faith.
Good. I'm sure they're happy that you do. All the way out there in Saskatchewan.
All the way up here in Regina. We're getting a lot nicer weather than
I'm sure you are.
Toronto.
Don't
and
rub
if
it
the
in.
Dome was here in Regina, we would have the roof open weeks ago.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the call and the rubbing it in on the weather. You know what, though? It doesn't get to minus 50 around these parts. Sean is in Scarborough. Hey, Sean.
For sounding like this, I got kind of a flu.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a good win. It took them a little longer to win than I thought because I guess they're just having a hard time in general overall producing runs. Their pitching's been dynamite, but the run producing's been like a winter. What do you think they could do besides change the lineup? And then I have another question after.
Nothing. There's nothing they can do. They can't do anything until they start hitting. These are, you know, I feel like I say this every night. These are guys who have always hit. And they're a little older, but one winter doesn't turn a 280 hitter into a 140 hitter. All they have to do is just keep at it, and they'll be fine. What's the other question?
I was wondering how you would feel about legislation passed in Canada, ensuring that a certain percentage of the Blue Jay team was Canadian.
I think that's a ridiculous idea. Why would you think that was a good idea?
Because we have our own talent, and we should bet on ourselves first before we bet on international talent.
Okay. Thanks for the call. No, this is not. It's not the national team. It's the national team, but it's not the national team. And to put legislation, you know what? Every one of the I don't know that it deserves any more comment than that. Look, it's great to have good Canadian players on the Blue Jays, but Canadians have every major league team has the ability to draft Canadian players. Now, if you want Major League Baseball to legislate that the Blue Jays get to pick three Canadian players every year before anybody else gets to pick anybody, sign me up. I'll do that. The old Montreal Canadiens, where they get the best player out of Quebec every year, no problem. But I don't think that's going to happen. And look, you want the best possible players. Does anybody, are there any Blue Jays fans who like Roberto Alomar any less because he's from Puerto Rico? Or Roy Halladay because he's from Colorado? Mark Boffo says yes, but I think everybody else would be on board with just the best possible players. Jeff is in Mississauga. Jeff, you're going to be the last caller. Make it good.
Great. Your first time caller too, Mike.
Welcome.
Okay. I'm going to drop my comment. I have a question, though, to make it quick.
You don't have to be quick.
Okay. When a pitcher throws a ball and it hits the dirt,
yes,
they always throw the ball out.
Yes.
Yet, when a guy hits the ball, he really slams the ball and it hits the dirt and goes out in the outfield, they bring the ball back in and throw it again. Why is that? Isn't that ball in worse shape than the ball?
Yeah, you know what? That's a question that's been asked 100,000 times.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, and the answer is I have no idea. I don't know. It's just so easy, I guess, for the catcher to give a ball in the dirt back to an umpire and say, all right, let's go.
And where do the balls go?
The used-up balls are used for batting practice.
Batting practice. Okay. Well, anyway, I know the bats stink right now with the Jays, but, you know, we got a lot of – I'm a diehard Blue Jay fan, and they're going to be there.
All right, Jeff. No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate all the calls. Blue Jays win it 3-2 in 11 over the Minnesota Twins. Postgame is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us here at Baseball Control in Toronto. The Blue Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 3-2, the final score, to snap a 5-game losing streak. Took them 11 innings, but it still counts, just like they had done it in 9. Right now, the Yankees are leading Oakland 2-1 as they play in the top of the 7th inning, and you know what that means. Now, when the Yankees have a lead in the 7th, it's Betances to Miller to Chapman, and the game is generally done. Yankees took the lead on an RBI double by Aaron Hicks. The Dodgers are up 4-2 on the Angels in the bottom of the fifth, and the Giants lead the Padres 3-1 in the bottom of the ninth. Earlier, the Orioles took one on the chin. The Seattle beat them 7-2. Adam Lind with a three-run homer. White Sox took down Houston 2-1. Chris Sale is 9-0 on the season. First pitcher in 8 years to win his first nine starts of the season. The Blue Jays continue this series in Minnesota. Tomorrow night, we will be on the air at 7 o'clock on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Eastern Time. For the pre-game show, you'll hear my conversation with Rangers pitching coach Doug Brocale, first pitcher ever to come back from consecutive Tommy John surgeries and had a heart attack on the mound. Definitely worth listening to. Then, the network pregame at 7:30, first pitch at 8:10, Aaron Sanchez against Tyler Duffy. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Emil Delich, Tom Raminski, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.